Welcome to the presentation of a lecture from Gnostic Radio, a free public service from Telema Press. Gnostic Radio broadcasts free lectures from the Gnostic tradition of Samael on Vior. Gnosis is the root wisdom of all the world's great religions. Gnosis is a universal doctrine containing the precise science to free the soul from suffering. Each lecture explores another aspect of this timeless and sacred knowledge. Many of these lectures are supported by additional information on our website. Each Saturday, Gnostic Radio broadcasts live. The live lecture is accompanied by an anonymous chat session, allowing listeners to read additional explanations related to the lecture and providing an opportunity to ask questions of the speaker. All of the efforts of Telema Press are supported by listeners like you. For more information or to make a donation, visit our website at GnosticTeachings.org. Now, with heartfelt wishes for the end of suffering for all creatures, we will begin the lecture. May all beings be happy.
Good morning. We are going to talk today about the rest of the three seals, of the seven seals of the Book of Revelation. These three seals are related as you can see in the Tree of Life, with the monad, which is the second triangle, or the triangle between the Tree of Life, which in the graphic that we always use is purple. Is the triangle of Geburah, Chesed, and Tifereth. We call it the triangle of the monad. And that is what many times we address as our innermost, our inner God, which is a trio of spirit, which is chesed, which means mercy. And sometimes it's also called gedulah, which means love. The other sephirah, straight to the left, is geburah, which is the divine soul. And in the very bottom, the apex of that triangle, we find Tifereth, which means beauty. And that is the human soul. That is the monad. And the monad abides in the sixth dimension, which is beyond the fifth dimension, which is eternity. Sixth dimension is called the causal world, where we find the causes of everything. And it's precisely here, in this sixth dimension, where Chochmah, which is the second sephirah of the Tree of Life, from the triangle above, the one that descends through Binah in order to incarnate into the human being. Remember that we always stated, or we always state, that the human being is formed by seven bodies, and that the human being is made into the image of God. Is this precisely the area where we find the image of God, in the area of the monad? And Chokhmah, wisdom, the Christ, descends into the monad in order to work from there. From there, descends into the physical body in order to perform what we already know from the other lecture of the Four Horsemen. Today's lecture is entitled The Trial of the Son of Man, following by 144,000 seals from the Seal of Solomon, which is the whole lecture. And you can find the graphics and the meaning of the Book of Revelation in the website in order to follow what we are going to explain. Chokhmah, the Christ, incarnates, becomes one with Tifereth, the human soul, but obviously is one with the whole monad, because Tifereth, the human soul, as we are saying it, is a human part of the monad, because the monad is a trio. But as the Son of Man, which is the outcome of Tifereth with Chokhmah, descends into the different Sephiroth, in order to perform the great work. Part of Tifereth, the human soul, is bottled up within the ego. And this is how, as we, or as the previous speaker were explaining the former lecture, the human soul is divided. Above, we find the master, because the master is the monad, Chesed, the human soul, which abides in the sixth dimension. That is what we call the Bodhisattva. And below, we find a terrestrial man, within which we find the karma and all of that ego that all of us have within. But the causes of the ego are in the sixth dimension, within Tifereth. Why? Because Tifereth is the one that falls. It's the only part of the monad that falls, the human part. Geburah and Gedulah, the divine soul and the spirit, never falls. And this is a mystery that we had to comprehend, because Tifereth, in symbology, is that Adam which is tempted. Tifereth is a sixth Sephirah. And the number six is always related with love. If you examine the sixth card of the tarot, you find the lovers, the human soul between two women, a divine mother and a whore. Temptation and chastity, virtue and desire. So the human soul Tifereth is the one that falls. So from there you find the causes. That's why the Lord incarnates in Tifereth in order to work with the causes of the ego, which abides in Tifereth. And from then, he saves the human soul. And that's why the Master Samael on the Or explains us that being Chochmah, pure and chaste, when incarnated into Tifereth, because it's fallen, because part of Tifereth is in Klipoth and the lower Sephiroth, being chaste, he seems like unchaste. Being holy, he looks like unholy. And it's because the ego of Tifereth is mingled with the Lord. And this is something that we have to comprehend, because the Lord has to help. This is the Savior. This is the mystery of the Salvator Salvandus. This is why the Lord Christ is called the Savior, the Lamb of God that erases the sins of the world. In this case, the world is the Bodhisattva. And that Bodhisattva, that Tifereth, that human soul, fell because of fornication. That is the cause of the fall. Fornication. And let us state here very clear that fornication is the ejaculation of the enseminis. Fornication means when the human being ejaculates the enseminis, reaches the orgasm or the spasm in the sexual act. That is called fornication. Whether this person is married or not, that doesn't matter. So, to eat the fruit of the tree of good and evil means to reach the orgasm, the spasm in the sexual act. It's not that the sexual act is prohibited. What is prohibited is the orgasm, the spasm, which is a function among the animals, the beasts, but never among the human beings. That's why, since the time of Lemuria, humanity fell into animal generation, meaning humanity started to generate themselves as animals. They lost their human state and entered into the animal state. And since that time, everybody is reproducing themselves as animals, but not as human beings. In the ancient times, Lemurians from the continent Mu, Lemuria, were reproducing themselves with the power of Kriya Shakti. They were not ejaculating the ens seminis. And this is why the Lord enters into Tifereth in order to eradicate 100% all of those animal elements of fornication and adultery. Obviously, since the first time that we fornicated, we created karma. Ego is related with fornication and adultery. It is written that all sins are forgiven except those against the Holy Ghost. From this point of view, we have to state that everybody is a sinner, is a fornicator, an adulterer. Many times people like to point to other people in order to say that they are adulterers or fornicators, when in reality, when you are pointing at somebody with your index, the middle finger, the annular finger, and the pinky are against you. And your thumb is pointing upwards to heaven, meaning that you are bringing judgment from heaven. You're saying you are a fornicator, and three fingers are pointing at you saying, do you look at your three brains? And you will discover there a lot of egos of fornication and adultery. So instead of looking at the eye of your brother, look at your three brains. And you will discover that what you are pointing is abundantly within you. That's why the Lord never accused the adulterer or the adulteress in the Bible. Because the Lord is the one that enters into the human soul in order to work with that. If we do not eradicate adultery and fornication, we cannot be saved. And only the Lord, Chokhmah, which is above Binah, can do it. Because the one that fornicates and commits adultery sins against Binah, the Holy Spirit. That's why Chokhmah, which is above Binah, descends in order to work with it. Because Binah is an unfoldment, a projection of Chokhmah. And Binah is the Divine Mother and the Holy Spirit. Because it's androgynous. Two polarities. The Holy Spirit is male and female. And that's why Chokhmah enters into Binah in order to suffer the karma and be united with Tifereth. And that's why in the beginning of the fifth seal, which is related with Tifereth, you find how we explain there that when in the sixth dimension Chokhmah had opened the fifth seal, the Sefer Tifereth, we said the fifth because it's starting or doing the job from the bottom. If you count the Sephiroth from above to below, Tifereth is the sixth. That's why it's named as the sixth Sephirah. But here, we are naming the fifth seal because Chokhmah is doing the work from the bottom. And if you count from the bottom, of course, Tifereth becomes the fifth that is doing it. And there, Chokhmah says unto Keter, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Many things have been talked about in this day and age, especially with that book, The Da Vinci Code, about the Holy Grail. And the mystery of the Holy Grail, well, Mary Magdalene. Well, we, the Gnostics, we know very well, since many centuries, thousands of years, that the Holy Grail is a symbol of the feminine sexual organ. And of course, Mary Magdalene was the one that worked with the Lord. His wife. Because nobody can walk on the path of self-realization without a husband, without a spouse. So that's why you see there in the website, Jesus holding the cup and Mary Magdalene embracing him. But you have to understand that Chokhmah, the Christ, is incarnated within Tifereth, and Tifereth has to suffer the consequences of his past sinning life. And that's why the Lord has to do it. Even though Chokhmah says to Keter, if this is possible, take this cup from me. which means the sexual organ, the sexual act. Because he is going to start the trial that you see, or in other words, the judgment of the causes of the ego, which is fornication and adultery, are within that mystery of the sixth seal, or I mean the fifth seal, which is related with the sixth Sephirah Tifereth, which is the sixth commandment, you shall not fornicate. And the Lord knows that the only way to pay that is with death. With death, you kill death, and you eradicate that sin. And this is how the Lord has to die. And of course, it is written there that an angel appeared from heaven of Asiluth, threatening him, and said, "Verily I say unto you, that whosoever knows the mysteries of Da'at, which is Gnosis, sexual alchemy, my work is power too. But during the spiritual night, before my word become affirmed in Tifereth, which is the Lord, he shall deny me thrice." And here we enter into the mysteries of faith. You know very well that Peter is the one that denies the Lord three times. Peter is related with the pineal gland, where we develop faith, experience, direct experience. We love the Lord. All of us love the Lord and wants to do the work. But there is a time when you have to face your own karma. And the Lord has to suffer because of you. Peter says, "Even if I am going to die to death, I will deny you, Lord." And then the Lord answers, "Peter, Peter, oh faith, in your pineal gland, and remember that in the pineal gland is Tifereth, the seed of the soul. I tell you that before the rooster sings twice, you will deny me thrice." And it's because during the process of the incarnation of the Lord, the rooster symbolizes the incarnation of the Lord. This is something very important here because there are two symbols in the Bible, the rooster and the fig tree. The rooster is the symbol of the masculine sexual forces, and the fig tree is the symbol of the feminine sexual forces. So before that male aspect, which is the logos, chokhmah, to vibrate in Tifereth, or to incarnate, we deny the Lord thrice because we have three brains. We have, of course, the process also of the three mountains in which we have to annihilate ego. Even though we love the Lord, the ego internally doesn't care about the Lord. And you have experiences. You work with yourself, but in the internal planes and even in the physical plane, your ego, your lust, just do whatever they have to do. They don't care. And you feel remorse because you want to be pure and chaste, but your lust doesn't care about that. And that's why you have to be patient, because Peter repents. He denied the Lord. And he is behind, outside the temple. In this case, you have to understand that the temple where the Lord is being judged is in the sixth dimension, before the laws of karma. But here in the physical plane, the thing is different. Because he's in front, because he's judged because of Tifereth. He's mingled with Tifereth. And he is unjustly accused of something that he didn't do. That's why he's meek. He said, "I had to help this guy or this soul." Being there, of course, the human soul looked from afar, which is in this case Peter, faith. And he wants to help, but he knows that the Lord is being accused and he denies that Because the ego, part of him, is bottled up into the ego. And that is precisely the great remorse, the great pain for Peter and for everybody. Because everybody, you know, as we know, Peter is in the pineal gland. Faith, willpower, deep breath. We don't want to deny the Lord, but we do it. Why? Because our conscience is bottled up within fornication and adultery. And that kind of karma is paid with pain and suffering. There's no other way. And that's why the trial of the Son of Man begins there in Tifereth. Because he is going to eradicate the causes of the ego. But it's not in one day or 1 hour or in 1 week or 1 month. It's a process in which the bodhisattva is comprehending and annihilating with the help of the Divine Mother. That's why you see in the next graphic how the book of Revelation explains how the bodhisattvas or the voice of the prophets have to sacrifice themselves, because Chokhmah has to sacrifice, has to give his blood for humanity. And through the bodhisattva, he speaks against people. But it's against the ego of people. Because the Lord is against the ego of that bodhisattva. He's going to annihilate it. So he also speaks to the people. Awake. And of course, all the meaning of that is there written already in the internet. Below that graphic of John the Baptist, which is preaching in the wilderness, the symbol of the bodhisattva. Because remember that the John the Baptist is that master that is decapitated, meaning that in the mind we have the sin, the ego, the den of the ego. So we have to be decapitated in the process of initiation. And that decapitation means that the bodhisattva is leaving his mundane mind little by little and entering into the internal worlds. And he's dying. Has to be decapitated. But he has to teach the doctrine. And that's why below you find the meaning of the wedding of Cana. Because that wedding of Cana really symbolizes the bodhisattva and his bride. That has to enter into the mysteries of alchemy. And that's why the Divine Mother Kundalini, which is Mary and Jesus, are there in that wedding. Because those are elements related with the upper triangle, Binah and Chokhmah. Chokhmah is the representation of Jesus and Mary, Binah, that have to work together in the sexual act and the weddings of Cana. And you see fine also that the sixth vessels where the Lord is making the miracle of transmuting the water into wine are precisely the symbol of Tifereth, six. Because Tifereth is the one that makes that miracle with his bride. And any bodhisattva has to receive his wife in order to perform that miracle. When that moment arrives, when the fifth seal has to be opened, and then the terrestrial part of that bodhisattva trembles. It's written. Because he knows that he has to pass for very strong ordeals related with Karma Saya and Kamaduro. And here, of course, people, that what you find there in the other graphic, Master Jesus in the Last Supper. That Last Supper is directly connected with sexual alchemy. And of course, as the Master Samael on the earth says there, from within the depths of the chalice, cup, or holy grail, symbolic figure of the female sexual organ, flames spring forth, which blaze on the glowing face of the Son of Man, the true human being. Obviously, Jesus, being the Bodhisattva, was, of course, drinking from the Holy Grail. And in this case, was the cup of the sexual organ of Mary Magdalene, in order to receive help and in order to work with the fifth mystery. And that's precisely how you find in the fifth seal that everything changes for the Bodhisattva. Even though white robes of mastery are given unto the Bodhisattva and his bride. And this is related, of course, with internal initiations in which the initiate in the sixth dimension receives his or her spouse in order to do or in order to work with those egos of Karmazaya and Kamaduro. But those are very strong egos related with karma. And that's why you find that Judas, that you already know, is related with the sexual center, the sexual organs, is the one that comes and betrayed the Lord. That's precisely the great symbol. Because Judas is related, directly related with the cup, with the Holy Grail, because that cup symbolizes the sexual organ of the female, of the bride. And of course, the human soul falls because of fornication. And this is how the Lord knows that the Son of Man is going to deliver into the hands of sinful people. It's written. When he is drinking from the cup, the Holy Grail, and eating from the bread in the Last Supper, he says, "Verily I say unto you that the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of sinners." Who are those sinners? Our own particular ego. And who is the one that is going to deliver the Lord? Is Judas, which is precisely in the sexual organs. The fire of Judas, which unfortunately are mingled with Karmasaya and Kamaduro. And that's why he delivers the Lord. He betrays the Lord. Even though Judas doesn't want to betray the Lord. He doesn't want to do it, but he does it. Because whether he wants it or not, he fornicated and he committed adultery many times in past lives. So therefore Judas, being faithful to the Lord, betrays the Lord. Because the downfall is precisely because of the sin of fornication and adultery. And Judas is the adulterer and the fornicator. It's us, in other words. All of us has Judas in the sexual organs. It's that lust that we have to transform with patience into chastity. And of course, after that, trial of the Son of Man is happening, you see another graphic there with Neshama, the divine consciousness, Mary Magdalene, free from the seven sins, which is in this case a deep symbol of the divine soul. The divine soul that from the heart of Neshama, because when you study Kabbalah, you know that the Buddhata is part of that Neshama, which is really part of the divine soul. In the case that the human soul is part of the monad. And here you find how it's written that the Lord, the atom of the sun in the pituitary gland, is Mary with the fires of the heart. But even though the fires of the heart are fed with a sexual center, with a cup of Holy Grail, that in the physical plane is a physical Magdalene, which feeds the internal Christ with sexual transmutation, and that is related with the sixth seal, the Sefira Gebura, which is justice. So you see how from one Sefira we are entering into another Sefira on that area of the monad. Gebura is justice, related with the divine soul. In Gebura is where Chokhmah places the divine inheritance of the ray of creation. Each one of us has his, her own inheritance, divine cosmic inheritance. That when you achieve self-realization, that is shown in Gebura, which is justice. That's why in Buddhism, Gebura is Buddhi, which means wisdom. And it's because that Chokhmah, wisdom, his purity, enters into Gebura to develop the attributes of God. Because the divine soul has all the attributes of God divined in heaven, and the human soul, the attributes of God here on earth. That's why that is a process that we had to understand. When the initiate reaches the fifth initiation of a major mysteries, which is Tifereth, he incarnates the human soul, which is the lower part of the monad. He cannot incarnate the upper aspect of the monad because he has to annihilate the causes of that ego, the causes of fornication first, in order to incarnate Neshama, or we will say Gebura. And that's precisely the process of the Bodhisattva. That's why in the previous lecture we explained, the speaker explained very well, that all the masters that go in the spiral incarnate only Tifereth, no more. Even the master that takes the direct path incarnates only Tifereth, no more, the human soul, because he has still ego. So we will say that the second birth has different processes. First, when you reach mastery, the fifth initiation, the human soul incarnates. And then that individual has the right to be called master or human being. But that individual is Tifereth. She's in the physical body. But that individual has ego. And this is something that we have to understand. That individual, even when his inner monad is a master, he can be a mythomaniac. Because mythomania is an ego. Whether the inner being is a master or not. Mythomania is an ego that boasts about the mastery. And the master is always chesed, gedula. Tifereth is only the serve. The servant of the Lord. So the servant of the Lord knows very well that has ego. And has to die. Because the servant of the Lord wants to incarnate also. Wants to be betrothed with Mary Magdalene. Which in this case, I'm telling you, is a symbol of the divine soul. And for that, he has to clean Mary Magdalene of the seven sins. How is that? You see the double meaning here? Because the other Mary Magdalene is written was an adulteress. Isn't that true? Meaning that Mary Magdalene, that soul bottled up into the ego, is the adulteress inside of everybody. So the Lord has to liberate first that in order to marry that in the upper world. And that's a process. Very long process. That we have to comprehend and understand because it's initiation. First, Tifereth has to open all the seals that we are explaining here. But I'm explaining here in short in order for you to understand. First, Tifereth with Chochmah together opens the seven seals. And then he finishes what we call the first mountain. Finishing the first mountain, all the initiations of fire and light, then Tifereth has to annihilate the egos of Nahema. You know what is Nahema? The mother of adultery and fornication. And everybody has Nahema within. Nahema is related with the egos of 96 lusts, which are related with limbo. Those egos of 96 lusts had to be annihilated. Nahema has to be eradicated. At least in that level. When Nahema is conquered, when the egos of the 96 lusts are destroyed by Chochmah and Tifereth with Binah together, meaning the human soul, Christ, and the Divine Mother working together, meditation, annihilation, and all that we know already, then Mary Magdalene is free, becomes holy in that level. Then the divine soul incarnates with the monad in the initiate. That is what is called the wedding of the soul. It's another incarnation there. The real incarnation of the master. Before the annihilation of the egos of 96 lusts, Geburah and Chesed cannot incarnate. And then that individual has the right to be called master in the physical plane. That's why in Gnosticism there was a big mistake due to the fact that people were called master. And the only master that I knew was the Master Samael on the Or, incarnated in the human soul. I mean in the physical body. The other masters had only the human soul because they still have ego within. And they were making a lot of mistakes. As the Master Samael explains, in the beginning he was committing mistakes, but he rectified his mistakes when he incarnated his inner being. He was an incarnated master. And that's precisely one of the aspects of this initiations and incarnations the incarnation of the divine soul and the monad, Chesed, is the beginning of the second mountain. Listen carefully. The beginning of the second mountain. Before that, nobody has incarnated Chesed. And anybody that says that has Chesed and Gedulah incarnated without the annihilation of the ego or just because he received the fifth initiation of Meir Mysteries ignores that is ignoring. That's why we need to study Kabbalah very carefully in order to commit mistakes. Obviously, Chesed can express himself to the human soul because it's part of him. But to enter into the body and to be there is different. That is what we call a dhyani bodhisattva. You see here two different things. Bodhisattva is called the one that takes the direct path and incarnates the human soul together with Chokhmah. But a dhyani bodhisattva is Chokhmah with Chesed, Geburah, and Tiferet together in one physical body. And that is what the Master Samael was, a dhyani bodhisattva. There's a process. And that's why it's written that when the initiate opens the sixth seal, the Sefirah Geburah, there is a great earthquake in the philosophical earth of the humanity of Tiferet, because he comprehends the difficult task related with the annihilation of the egos of Karmasaya and Kamaduro. And that's why the sun of understanding became black, obscure, a sackcloth of hair. And the moon, the mind, became as blood, reflecting only the karmic pains, because the solar light of Geburah, the divine soul, within which Chesed is shining, does not shine if the water does not boil 100 degrees. The Master explains many times that the water has to boil 100 degrees in order to disintegrate emotional aspects of lust, fornication, and adultery. Because adultery and fornication is pain in the heart and death in the physical body. But before the death of the physical body, we pass for a process of pain in the heart when one suffers. That's why this humanity suffers a lot. Because we are adulterers. We said we because nobody is free from that sin, whether in this life or in previous lives. And that's why we suffer in the heart a lot. And that's why the Lord is trial in that way and suffers, because he receives the karma of Tiferet. He's not a sinner. Chokhmah is not a sinner. But mingled with Tiferet, he has to face that. And unjustly is accused. And that's why when people accuse the bodhisattva, the initiate, is accusing the initiate, the bodhisattva, which is an adulterer, but at the same time is accusing the Lord. And that's why the Lord gives the advice before. Do not point at the splinter of the eye of your brother, because you have a trunk in yours. By saying, later on, you will see something in me, because Tiferet, and you will point at me, you will get karma, because I am not that sinner, but Tiferet. And that's precisely what happened in all the initiates. Because many people wait for the second coming of the Lord, and the Lord always comes for the second time, and every single bodhisattva, and every single bodhisattva, is accused. And when he is accused, the Lord is always accused. Many Christians say, oh, if the Lord comes, I won't be like 2,000 years ago. And meanwhile, he came again and again, and he always, and the Christians precisely are the ones that accused them. And the Lord is always suffering, because the Lord has to come in every single bodhisattva. And this is why you see that in the sixth seal, Judas comes and betrays the Lord. But that Judas is that sexual fire within which we committed a lot of bestialities in the past. When I said bestialities, it is because only the beast fornicates and commit adultery. The human being never do that. And because we fell, part of the human soul fell into bestiality. And that is why Judas comes with all of those egos which are accused of that. With the laws of karma. He has to be trial. He suffers. And that's why he said that, and the discernment of stars of the intellectual heaven of the initiate, because of their lack of enlightenment, because lust fell onto the earth, or to the inferior manas, the mind, even as the fires of Judas in Ida, a fig tree, the sexual force of procreation, cast her untimely figs of untruthful concept of desire. When she, the mind, is shaken of a mighty Geburah wind of Elohim. What is that? I told you, Judas is related with the sexual center. And humanity fell because they wanted to procreate with fornication. And Ida is precisely that current related with the sexual organ that procreates. It's Eve. And that's why Eve is related with Mary Magdalene. It's why Eve, Mary Magdalene with a cup, with the Holy Grail, and all of this drama is around the sexual organ and all the sins against the Holy Spirit that the Lord has to eradicate with his own sacrifice. That is sacrifice of the fire, of the light, the Lord Christ in re, ignis natura renovatur integra. This is how we have to understand it. Not like people in this day and age understand that the Lord came 2,000 years ago, he died for our sins, and we are ready. No. We have to incarnate him if we want to be saved. And in order to incarnate him, we have to reach at least the level of human being, because the Lord does not incarnate in beasts. The Lord incarnates in human beings. And we have to reach that level. And that is the truth. This is how we have to understand. Because he said that the beast is not made into the image of God, but the human being. And this is precisely what we are dealing here. And that's why the ego of the initiate, his head, his heaven, departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain of subjective knowledge and island of hypotheses is moved out of its place with the activity of the sexual energy. Because you are in that level, when you reach that level, you are in a certain illumination. But then the karma of your sexual act from past lives come to face your activity, your initiation. And then that is the genetic waters of reality. That's why people said, how come this master had this type of trial or he died in this way? Well, because in the past lives, fornicated and committed adultery many times, and now he has to face that. And that's why every initiate at the end has to die physically when reaching that level. So you find there how Judas is always the traitor. And will always be the traitor, because Judas is settled down in our sexual organs. And of course, all the egos, whether inside or outside the people, misjudge the bodhisattva or the vehicle, the Son of Man, as you see here. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every freeman hide themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. And said to the mountains, fall on us to hide ourselves from the face of him. Who is him? It's Chokhmah. Who is there? It's pure. But it's being judged. And they don't accept the intelligence of the Lord and misjudge the Lord. As you see in the trial of Jesus written in the gospel, the Lord is misjudged. And everybody's inventing things in order to get him. And the Lord is meek, accepting things, because he knows that he is being accused unjustly. But because of Tifereth, because all of those demons of the three brains are there. First, Caiaphas, which believes that he's pure and he's just a hypocritical Pharisee. And everybody has that within. They believe that he's holy because he is doing this, who's doing that, and because he was sacrificing for humanity many years and doing chastity for many years, so I'm holy. And the Lord comes inside of him and says, "You are not holy. You are a hypocritical Pharisee." And then he doesn't like that. He wants to hear that he is holy and he is already in nirvana and self-realized. And the Lord says, "No, you are not. You are just a false light. I am the light of the world," says the Lord. "And you are a false light." And that's what happened. Many initiates that believe that they are enlightened and they don't realize that they have the ego alive. And of course, the Lord always, to the cerebral and spinal nervous system, look at the three brains, how it works. The elders are related with the instinctual motor brain, which are bottled up in habits, customs. The priests in the heart, and the scribes or Sadducees in the mind, which are the clever ones. And with sophisms and theories, want to defeat the Lord, want to deny the Lord. And the Lord always listened to them. He said, "Yes, just try me. Judge me. I don't care. I will go to the cross. I know that. But after that, after my death, I will descend into hell and I will get you." Because that will happen. The Lord goes to the cross, which is a sexual symbol, and dies there. Yeah. But dies because he wants to descend. If he doesn't die, he doesn't descend into Klipoth in order to annihilate all of those egos that we have within. If he humbly receives the karma, he says, "Okay, let me pay now, but after that I will annihilate you." And when he resurrects, it's clean. And all the egos, Caiaphas, Judas, and Pilate are disintegrated. And all those that were accusing him are disintegrated, disappeared. That's the beautiful of this symbol, of the trial of the Son of Man. And of course, this is a long process. That's why the book of Revelation gives a special chapter. After this process of Geburah, of the sixth seal, it's a special chapter when we see that after the judgment of these inhuman monastic karmic things, the initiate sees four angels that are controlling the four winds of the earth, which are precisely related with the four bodies of sins. Because in the four bodies of sins, physical body, vital body, astral body, and mental body, is where we have the karma. The karma of falling. Because the causes of the karma are in Tifereth. But the karma there, in those four, has to be paid too. And this is how the fifth angel is the one that is coming from the place where the sun rises. It is written there, "I saw another angel, our interior cognizant judge that works with the fires of the Atonus in the heart, ascending from the east." In this case, the east is the heart. In the heart, we have the fires of Neshama, Geburah, or what we'll say, the emotional superior center. And from there, of course, that judge, inner judgment, is going to do the work, which is, in this case, of course, the Atonus, together with that particular judgment. To work in order to perform the whole work that we were explaining before. The whole work that we were explaining that the fifth angel from the Atom News had to do is related with the seal of the living God. As you see there, the Star of David is the seal of the living God and is related with the Arcanum 12 that you can see also in the website. The 12 tribes of Israel are related with the 12 zodiacal signs within which our consciousness is bottled up, related with different powers that we have to develop. And of course, we have to be sealed in the forehead with the seal of the living God, which is the seal of the Star of David. That's the seal of the living God. And it's because we have to work with the mysteries of that which are hidden within that star. The seal of the living God is formed by two triangles. The first is a triad symbolized by the heavenly zenith, Keter, the infinite height, connected to the east and west of the earth by two straight diverging lines. This invisible triangle is symbolically compared with another, which is also invisible, but is assumed to be equal in dimension. The abyss of Klipoth is its apex and is reversed. Base is parallel to the horizontal line stretching from east to west. These two triangles combined in a single symbol make the six-pointed star, the sacred symbol of Solomon's seal, the resplendent star of the macrocosmos. The notion of the infinite and the absolute is expressed by this symbol, which is the seal of the living God, the most simple and complete symbol of the signs of all things. There are three triangles in the tree of life, which corresponds one with another through the three logos. The triangle of magic is Binah, the triangle of ethics, Chokhmah, and the triangle of archetypes, Keter. From this principle follows the hierarchy of Elohim, divided into three orders, and again subdivided by the triad of their respective sephirotic triangle, because you see that every triangle has three sephiroth. Binah itself, as infinite creator, speaks to itself about itself. Such is the explanation of the triad and the origin of the Trinity in Bria. Because in the beginning, God creates with the Word. So Binah, as I said, speaks to itself about itself, that's Trinity. Binah in the triangle of magic of priesthood works in three sephiroth and in the three brains of the human being. That which is above is like or equal to that which is below. As you see here, the triangle of Binah, which is Netzah, Hod, and Yesod, which is called the triangle of magic, makes one triangle that has to be aligned with your three brains. So if you work with your three brains in that triangle, you are making the sign of the seal of God. That's the first step where Binah works. This is how you have to understand the Arcanum number 12 works in this way. First, you have to work with the seal of Solomon, with the seal of the living God, with the triangle of magic or priesthood. Doesn't mean that other people think that, for instance, reject the practice of Hod, which is the natural magic related with rituals. the Eucharist. They say that it's not necessary. They are necessary. Because if you want to work in the triangle of Binah, you have to work in your three brains. If you want to work with the seal of God, you have to do that seal. And when you go up into this level of Chochmah, which is the upper triangle, the triangle that we are talking here, we have to work also with Tiferet, Geburah, and Chesed in our three brains. Do you realize that? That's why we have three brains. We don't have four brains, we have three. Because Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, here below, had to work with that which is above. And in this way, this is how the three mountains work in three. So that's why those Gnostics that reject the second chamber or the mysteries of Hod are ignorant. And the one that did that is an ignorant. Because nobody wants to work or nobody can perform the work of Binah, the priesthood, sexual magic, magic, natural magic in Hod, and hermetic magic in Exa, in the three brains, if you react one of the triangles, or you read one of the Sephira. This is how you have to understand how the seal of Solomon works. In that, Abba and Aima, or Shiva Shakti, which resemble one another in their word, Chochmah, which signifies their resemblance, make three. So the triad is the universal symbol of Chochmah in the triangle of ethics. The triad is the end and supreme expression of love. Men and women here seek one another as two in order to become three in the sexual act. That's the triangle in the making of the seal of God. Where God as creator, only one, he will never be creator or father. Where God only two, there will be antagonism or division of the infinite, which will mean the division also or death of all possible things. God as creator is therefore three, for the creation by himself and in his image of the infinite multitude of beings and numbers. So God is truly one perfect multiple unity, which manifests triple in all creation. Therefore, we must worship God as triple within oneself and as one in our intelligence and our love. This mystery, which is comprehensible through intuition, is a logical necessity for the initiate into the absolute and real sciences. As we follow the sequence of these seals, you find there are 144,000, the ones that are sealed. People think, oh yeah, 144,000 people. No. To begin, 144,000 make the addition of 9. That means that you have to be born from the 9th sphere, and you have to work in the 9th sphere. Because everything is done in the 9th sphere. That's why it's 9. But also, 144,000 is the Kabbalistic name of Adam. Aleph is number 1. Dalet is 4. And Mem is number 40. And if you add that these two forces are between man and woman, the zero, the infinite, which is the zero symbol of men and women together, you make the 144,000. Meaning that in order to be a chosen one, you have to work with the Kabbalistic symbol of Adam, which is 12. This is 12 of every tribe. Why not, for instance, 3,000 or 5,000? Why 12,000 of every tribe? Because 12 is the arcanum that we have to study. When we enter in these studies, if you observe the symbol of the Arcanum 12, you see a man that is hanging from his foot. From his other leg that is bent, is forming a cross. And he's forming a triangle with his two hands, an inverted triangle. That means that the cross is above the triangle, which is, of course, bad. Meaning the cross, which is a symbol of matter, is dominating the monad. The monad we are talking here. Chesed, Geburah, and Tifereth. And that happens in all people in this day and age. Sex is dominating the spirit. So we have to invert the symbol. We had to put the triangle above and the cross below. That's the right position. And that is a process of initiation. That's why when somebody asks us, it says, Jesus Christ never carries his cross on his head. Because to carry the cross on the head means that sex is dominating the spirit. Jesus carries the cross on his shoulders, meaning that he is controlling the sex, not the sex controlling him. And that's why in the ancient times, when the initiates were entering into initiation, they had to stand on the cross. Some people say, oh, to stand on the cross, the holy symbol, that's sacrilege. No. That means that you have to control sex. Have to stand on it. But people have sex on top of them. And that's the problem. So that's precisely the great work. That's why that 12th arcanum is called the apostolate, in which we have to invert the symbol. And to invert the symbol is to do the whole work that we are explaining here. Initiations and disintegration of the ego. So when we achieve the disintegration of the ego, at least, listen to this, of the 96 laws, then we are sealed. Because that happens in the sixth seal. It doesn't happen in the fifth, in the sixth. In the sixth. Why? Because the sixth seal, Geburah, is related with karma. It's related with the law. It's when you have to pay all of that. That's why it's written there in a special chapter related only with that. Because nobody mocks the law. Somebody says they're all, such and such master is going to give an initiation and our karma is going to be forgiven. No. The only one that can forgive the karma is Chokhmah when working to Geburah. He's the only one, but we have to incarnate it. If you don't incarnate the Lord, Chokhmah, your karma is still there. And that's why it comes to my mind this very moment when Matthew Samael on Veor explaining one of his books. He says, when I go into the temple of karma, I see my own book and all his pages are blank because my mother forgave me my sins. The divine mother, Bina, is part of Chokhmah. And because the work of Chokhmah, he has no ego anymore. So he has not particular, common, ordinary karma. But, he says, he entered into the higher levels of Katansia. Because one thing is for the karma to be forgiven. But Katansia is another thing. And that's why he has to enter into the mysteries of the seventh seal. And of course, before explaining that, after all the psychological work with the 12th Arcanum, the light of the Logos shone, and I beheld an exodus. And this is precisely the meaning of this. When you read it in the internet, and I beheld an exodus, and lo, a great multitude of solar forces, which no man could number, of all nations and kindred of people and tongues, stood before the throne of the cerebral spinal nervous system. That is precisely the Exodus, which is symbolically speaking in the book of Exodus. Of course, physically also happens something similar, But the real meaning of that is precisely the exodus of all of the conscious particles of Tifereth, which are bottled in the Nahema, in hell, in Klipoth, are being free by the work of the Lord, by the annihilation of the ego, and by the work of karma. And that's why they said, salvation to our Lord, to our inner God, which shines in the spinal column. And that's the symbol that you see in the internet. The back, the spinal column of the initiate, which becomes an angel. Why is he an angel? Because he doesn't have egos of the 96 lusts. So he's entering in the lower level, in the lower level of the hierarchy. Because after that, he has to transform himself into an archangel and go into the 12 works of Hercules, the second mountain, and then to die in different levels and to ascend into different heavens. Because to be an angel is to be only in the lower level of heaven. And that's the meaning of the Exodus. That's why it's coming into my mind this very moment, the book of Exodus. It is written that the Israelites were in Egypt 430 years. And after that, they left. If you know Kabbalah time in initiations, you know that 400 means the four power of the fire, and 30, the 30 vertebra. Because when the initiate rises the 30th vertebra in Tifereth, he reaches the age of 430 years. And if he takes the direct path, that's the beginning of the Exodus from Egypt, the lower Egypt, into the promised land. And that's the meaning that we are also seeing here. Working with that is how the Exodus comes. So you have to understand that and to comprehend that, that any Exodus is internal. People in the physical plane are waiting for the Exodus in this day and age. But who is going to go into that Exodus? The Master Samael said very plainly, those that reach the 50% go into the Exodus. Well, 430 is 7, addition of 7, almost 500. Because when you reach the fifth initiation, you have 500, you have 50, you have 5. Capisce? This is how you have to follow the initiation, the doctrine, because everything is inside. And of course, you see also how this chapter related explains after you develop that, how you do it. In the word amen is how we explained it. When the angel says, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto the Lord, Lord, you know this. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, karma, through many lives, when they were trapped within those psychological animalistic aggregates. Because those elements have to be liberated. It's not just that you are free when you reach the fifth initiation. You have to liberate those parts of the ego that which are trapped. Masters of spiral, they just do it through many lives. And the parts of the consciousness which is trapped in the ego suffer a lot because of karma. But those masters of the direct path, they liberate not only their part, but also teach the people to be free from karma through the path. And that's why you read there in the internet, I don't want to read it because you can read it by yourselves, the explanation of that, that through sexual alchemy, or what we said Kabbalistically, mikvah, minit, which is sexual bath, which is related with baptism, because everybody states that in order to be saved, you have to be baptized in waters. But those waters are sexual waters of transmutation, of chastity. And you have to receive the fire of Nun, which is precisely the Lord, the Christ in yourself, which floats in the waters of Mem, in order to perform the Amen. And as I said, when you reach that level, you enter into the second mountain. That's why we are synthesizing here and giving you opportunity to talk and to show that's why that the last one is the seventh seal. That when the initiate opens the seventh seal, which is related with Chesed, Geburah, there is a silence in heaven for half an hour. And we rot there. That silence in heaven, that have the space of about half an hour, is a time between the 6th hour and the 9th hour, which makes the addition of 15. And what is that? The devil. The ego again. In other words, the initiate enters into the seventh seal in order to work with the number 7. Remember that 7 multiplied by 7 is 49, because the ego has to be annihilated completely in the 49 levels. You enter there, in that level, in the second mountain. And this is how you, or that part of Chesed, because it's Chesed, the one that does it. That's why it's written there in the seventh seal. After the seventh seal comes 7 trumpets, 7 vials, and the whole book of Revelation explains in sevens. Because the seventh is Chesed, and the one that does that work is Chesed. And in order to do it, he has to be incarnated in the human body. And of course, that's the whole work with the cross. When you see the Lord that is crucified, that is in relation with Chesed, when he wants to give up the spirit. The spirit is Gedulah, is Adman, that becomes a warrior at that level and enters and works with the Lord as Hercules, Heracles, Hera, and Kleos means the aura of Hera, the aura of the Divine Mother. The work of Hercules is the work of Adman, Geburah and Tiferet together with Chochmah, Christ, into the second mountain. Descends and ascends. And you can read it in 3 mountains. All the work that the Master showed there and synthesized there. That's the seventh seal, which humanity still, related with the book of Revelation in general, still is not opening. When the initiate opens that, it's a silence in heaven, because it's in heaven when he is going to start rising, descending and rising in different levels. But in humanity, is when humanity enters in contact with other humanities of the space. That's why that seventh seal still is trying to be opened in this humanity, when finally this humanity will be in contact with other humanities of the space, the seventh seal for humanity will be opened completely. But here we are talking, of course, with the seventh seal related with the initiate. Do you see? In order to enter into the seventh seal, the mysteries of the seventh seal, to develop that completely, we have to be Adam. We have to be a man completely incarnated, a reincarnated master. That's precisely the direct path. Synthesize, symbolize. Of course, we can talk more. But I suspect that even though I'm trying to speak basic, you're trying to understand what I'm saying. Because this is so high. But you need to know this. And only not to fall into mistake that thinking that you have to be 144,000 people and all those multitudes that are around the throne of God are people. No. Elements that we have to develop inside. And of course, now you can ask questions in order to explain more about these three seals. This lecture, of course, is the end of the lectures on the book of Revelation. Because as you see, to keep ahead will be very difficult if you are not there. At least just to reach there, the end of that. Further that, you can buy the book, The Acquiring Message, The Three Mountains, Pistisophia, which explains in great detail about that, that you will need if eventually you reach that level. Questions?
Why is the, I think it's a space of a half hour between the, nine, the sixth hour and the ninth hour. Could you explain that a little bit?
Before, it says, the question is, why that space between the sixth hour and the ninth hour? It's written there in the Bible that between the sixth hour and the ninth hour, there was darkness on the earth. And of course, that is because the initial has to descend into Klipoth in order to annihilate, you know, all of those elements. And that's between 6 hour, temptation, 9 hour, sexual alchemy, which making the addition of that is 15, which is Lucifer, the tempter. That meaning that you have to defeat the 12, we will say, tasks that Lucifer will put for you. You defeat, for instance, the first task, which is the killing of the lion of Nemea. And then you said, okay, it's done. Then Lucifer says, okay, now there's another task for you. Because he knows you very well psychologically. And between that hour is precisely 15, Tifereth, working. I mean, the devil working with Tifereth in Chokmah, putting ordeals and ordeals and ordeals and ordeals. And the one that is defeating that is, of course, Hercules. Wants to reach half hour. It's precisely because a half hour is 30 minutes. It's related with the world. 30 related with the world. Remember, 30 related with the 30 silver coins given to Judas. It's a work with the world.